Hey, babe, you're gonna be a dad.
And you're gonna be a mom.
What?
Hi, guys. I'm Angela Lanter.
And I'm Matt Lanter.
So my husband, Matt, you might recognize him from your TV screen. He's an actor.
Yeah, and my smoking hot wife sitting next to me, you might recognize her off your computer screen. She's a blogger.
Come along and experience this journey with us as we prepare to have our first kid. Hopefully y'all can learn with us.
Laugh with us.
Or maybe reminisce about your own pregnancy. Either way, sit back, relax, and join us on Hello Bump. Saturday, May 20th, 2017, approximately 11:45 p.m.
So about 1 week after
it's exactly 1 week after.
Yeah, like exactly 1 week after.
So let's talk about this past week.
We've had an eventful week.
We have. So in the last week, we ended last Saturday night. Then last Sunday morning, you got up at the butt crack of dawn.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I was about to travel to New York.
Mm-hmm. To do upfronts.
And that's where we left off.
That's where we left off. And that is where my problems began with my newly acquired symptoms, if you will. So you're on your plane ride to New York and you left early in the morning. You land and you hit the ground running because upfronts are just go crazy time for you.
Yep. NBC upfronts is where, I think I probably already said this, but it's where NBC or whatever network, every network has them every year, and they kind of like tout their new shows and some of their returning shows and things like that. And if you're on one of the shows, they bring you back. They fly you there. You do a big, you know, there's red carpets and events and the
parties.
Actual upfronts presentations and parties. Mm-hmm. And it's a big show. It's kind of like a, it's like a show of force.
It's the who's of fall lineup.
Yeah,
kind of.
I suppose so. So anyway, so I flew up there and I had to do that for a couple of days and go to some parties and things like that and leave my newly pregnant wife at home.
Yeah. So Sunday afternoon, I started having some cramping lower down, and then I started the whole spotting thing, which honestly, like everything you look up says that those are very normal things. You know, symptoms to experience, but being that I've never been pregnant before, those are very scary things because you just don't know what's going on with your body.
Well, I think anytime anything unknown is scary. I mean, and then especially just in general, and then especially when you're pregnant, I mean, because so many things, I hate to say this, knock on wood, there's no wood here to knock on, but so many things could go wrong.
This early on.
Especially this early.
Yeah. So we're talking about, if we didn't already preface it, this is now week 6 of our pregnancy. So I started the cramping. It was specifically on my right side. It seemed to progressively get a little bit worse through the day. And finally, I caved and I called the on-call doctor. She called me back and she said it sounded like I had a cyst on my ovary, which given...
I mean, you were really struggling whether to call the doctor or not. By Sunday night, when I had landed in New York, you were kind of freaked out a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, I think everything, like we just moved into this house. It's bigger than what we're used to. And I think
I'm totally alone.
You're a little freaked out to be alone anyway. And then kind of a big dark house and you're not feeling good. It probably added to everything.
There's just a lot of anxiety, I think. And
it's
all new. And I'm so scared that everything is going wrong. And so she said it's probably a cyst. Not really anything that you can do about it. If you're still feeling bad in the morning, come into the doctor. And then this, you know, I spotted a little bit. The next morning I got up and I spotted again and I was still having the pain. So I went into the doctor and I had to do an ultrasound, and Matt had a come to Jesus moment with me that I was not to look at the screen without him because he didn't want me to see anything without him.
Yeah. I mean, this is the first ultrasound. And what if she like saw the baby and all that? And I didn't want to miss
that. And
you
wanted me to plug my ears too in case there was a heartbeat.
Yeah. I wanted her to shut her eyes and plug her ears and just walk in and hope she found the seat.
But, the ultrasound tech found the gestational sac, but that was all she could see. It was just too early because at this point I was just at 5 weeks. So of course my doctor wasn't in that day. I had to see a different doctor, and he said that the ultrasound tech had a little bit of concern because the gestational sac was on my right side, which is where the cramping was. But then I had a lot of more blood work done. A lot of more. That was really bad English.
A lot of more.
I had a lot of blood tests done that day, as well as they read my results from the Friday before. Everything looked really good. He's like, look, it is what it is. Like, there's not anything you can do. Cramping's totally normal. Spotting's totally normal. It just is what it is. So I think that night is the night that I think it was that night, that Monday night, that I was up through the night sick. Like, horrible stomach pains. Like, I think I got up at like 5:30 in the morning. Horrible stomach pains. Don't want to go too much into details, but it was just not a good situation.
Oh, come on. It's a details podcast. Go ahead.
I mean, like...
You had to use the potty.
I had to use the potty.
The potty, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it wasn't a good
situation. It wasn't a good potty experience.
No. Uh-uh. Which then freaked me out even more because I had watched a YouTube video that said that when you're having an ectopic pregnancy, that one of the first symptoms is diarrhea. So then I got even more freaked out of my head. The ultrasound tech had told me that Monday that she ruled out an ectopic pregnancy, but then the doctor I saw was like, well, I think it's too early to rule that out. So it was just like, I left the doctor not feeling settled at all. And I called
like
you.
Like more confused than when you went in.
Yeah.
More anxiety in a way.
Yeah. And I called you in New York and you're like, well, I feel pretty good about what he said. And
well, I don't remember exactly verbatim what you had said to me, but.
Because my hormone levels were good. My thyroid was good.
Yeah, all that stuff. And to me, all that stuff sounded like...
It was just hormones. That's all I really knew was hormones.
Well, you know why I thought it was good? Because you went in because you thought something was wrong. You didn't feel good. You thought something was wrong. So that's why you went.
Mm-hmm.
And they more or less said, like, nothing's wrong. We can't rule things out, but nothing's, like, immediately wrong. So in my head, that was kind of like, okay... You went there because you thought something was wrong. Something's not wrong. And we're okay. So now we make it another week or whatever till the next appointment. Or till, in this case, till Thursday, which was now a few days ago, until we had our first scheduled ultrasound.
Yep.
So I didn't see it as like a bad thing. I saw it as like, all right, you know, nothing crazy is happening. Let's give it a few more days, see how her body feels. I mean, everything is changing with you.
Daily.
I mean, that's why I feel like doing this little podcast thing is so
kind of interesting,
important and interesting and fun because things do change daily and certainly weekly with you, just as far as like emotionally, probably how you're feeling and definitely physically how you're feeling.
Yeah. I mean, I lost 6 pounds last week.
Now, why do you think you lost 6 pounds? Because we've kind of been trying to eat better and diet a little bit? Or you think that is your body?
I just, if you remember, like I really couldn't eat anything. Like nothing tasted good to me. I just felt sick all the time. And knock on wood, I have not had any morning sickness.
Well,
I've just been nauseous.
We'll get into that. We'll get into like you not feeling well and why and everything.
Yeah.
Cause we think we've
nailed that.
We've jumped over some hurdles this week. But anyway, so yeah, I'm in New York. I'm feeling pretty bad that, I mean, it's just something I have to do. I have to be in New York. It's a work thing. And obviously she knows that, but I feel bad that she's home, not feeling good. So,
and then we don't have any family here.
Yeah. No family. A couple of other good friends were actually in New York as well. So, Jay and Lo, you guys know them already. And
we even tried to plan ahead of time and ask our friend Crystal to stay with me, but she had other plans. Because just for the comfort.
Safety and comfort. And so we actually did try to have a couple different people stay with Angela just to like keep her company and make sure things were good. Because Angela also was saying that she's just scared of like waking up or getting up and then feeling faint and like passing
because
out.
Because I have been having dizzy spells.
Yeah, and you've just been feeling really, really bad in general.
Yeah.
So we tried.
Yeah. Went to the doctor Monday, then was up through the night that Monday to Tuesday morning. You come home Tuesday, thank God, because I was so ready for you to come home. It just felt like...
Pretty early.
But it just felt like it was such a long time that you were gone, but in reality you were only gone like not even 48 hours.
Not even 48 hours really.
But when you're sick.
Well, that's
like
not
that,
true. That's not true. I mean, I left Sunday morning, came back Tuesday.
So right at 48 after, hours.
Right at 48 hours.
But when you're feeling sick like that and you're just so alone, like it just, I think time just drags by.
Oh yeah, I'm sure.
So that Tuesday morning is when I woke up sick, and then you came home Tuesday early morning. You came home, I think I was like pretty much down for the count all day Tuesday, wasn't I? Just not feeling good on the couch all day.
Yeah, I think you were pretty lethargic Tuesday.
Because I hadn't slept good either.
Yeah.
Tuesday night, again, I was up from like 3 in the morning till about like 4:30 in the morning. But this time...
Which I didn't know, you didn't wake me up. You should have woken me up and just something, I don't know. What did we do Tuesday night? I think we just laid on the couch and...
I think so. I think we were just home.
Just enjoyed being
home. Because I was not feeling great.
Yeah.
I was up from 3 a.m. to at least 4:30 a.m. with the most horrible gas pains, like up under my ribs, up into my shoulders. Like, you know, the if you've ever had a surgery where, like, I've had laparoscopies where they pump you full of gas, and then after the surgery, you have to, like, move around to get rid of it because it just rolls around. Like, it was like that. Like, I was so filled with air, and it just was so painful. And we woke up on Tuesday or Wednesday morning, and I was telling you about this, and neither one of us could figure out what would I have possibly eaten to have caused that? Because you ate everything the same as me.
Yeah.
It just didn't make any sense. And I think that Wednesday is when it dawned on me that all of this started happening on Sunday. And Sunday is when we started my new prenatal vitamins. And prenatal vitamins, I've been on for months. I was on the New Chapter brand, taking them for months, just in anticipation, should we happen to get pregnant. Then I ran out of them on that Friday. We go to Whole Foods Saturday, buy the new Garden of Life, which we love Garden of Life.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we take a lot of their like vitamins, probiotics.
And yep, stuff. And I started them on Sunday, and all of this started happening a day later.
Mm-hmm.
So I tested myself with that for the next couple of days, just didn't take them for a day or two. I think I might have taken folic acid, but I didn't take them for a day or two just to see how I would feel. But then let's speed ahead to Thursday. So Thursday we had our regularly scheduled 6-week appointment with the doctor for ultrasound.
By Thursday, I think you were feeling a little better.
I was feeling
better
so much better.
You didn't take a vitamin.
I didn't take my, so we knew, you and I knew, like I was starting to actually get a little bit of an appetite back.
Yep.
Like you made steak the night before and I actually ate some of it.
Yeah.
Because
filet mignon.
Because I, at that point, like I didn't have a desire to eat anything, but like a dry English muffin.
That's probably why you were losing weight. Cause you didn't eat anything.
That's exactly why I was losing weight. That's exactly what it was. Like I couldn't eat anything because nothing tasted good. Nothing sounded good. I was nauseous all the time. So Thursday we have our regular 6-week appointment with our doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And we went in with the anticipation of seeing the baby.
Dr. Weiss.
Yep. And you took your camera. You were unsure whether you should or if you shouldn't.
Well, I didn't want to look like ridiculous, but then, you know, I think you see so many YouTube videos of like, so obviously people take cameras in all the time. I don't think it's anything that they are not used to.
That's probably accurate.
But like, you know, me and my camera and stuff equipment. So I had like a Rode microphone attached to the top.
You're very big on capturing memories. And I like that a lot about you.
I have already told Angela that. Well, I've bought her cameras in the past, and I've like tried to teach her to use it, and she won't. She won't figure it out. Like, she says she will, but she doesn't. And so we have this little Canon G7X, which is really nice, but it's like a point-and-shoot camera, but it's a really nice one. So I've already told her that I'm not – there's no negotiation on this. This is happening. There's going to be a camera stationed on our coffee table after the baby is born and, like, for the whole several years, you know, whatever, that when things happen – whether it's like words or whatever, she's got to be able to take pictures.
I'm just not good at cameras.
You have to learn. You have to learn. You have to do it like for me and for this kid who's going to see photos and videos down the road. You got to learn how to take pictures and do video. Because like if I'm at work and I'm working 12 hours a day and baby's taking his first steps or her first steps, like I want you to capture it.
We did forget that we went to a Timeless party celebration thing on Tuesday night.
Yes, we did.
I made the epic mistake of wearing heels and standing in them for 2 hours straight, and that's just not.
No, is that a pregnant thing, or is that just?
I think that's the just heels a were woman thing. It was just bad.
Or like those heels were just uncomfortable.
It was just bad, but I was already feeling bad to begin with.
You were already low energy. Yeah,
I just didn't
you
feel good.
Great.
And then we found out that the show is going to probably film mid-November, so that was a little bit of a.
Well, look, I mean. My show got picked up, which means, you know, obviously it's fun and creative and I want to work because that's what I want to be doing. And obviously it means we're making money and, you know, everything's great. It's awesome. And we found out that it's most likely shooting in LA. It's like a dream come true. But we did find out also that it is most likely going to start filming in mid-November because it could be a spring or a summer show of 2018.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like the most ideal thing, but everything about it is pretty much a dream. Oh, well, it's not ideal because of this. Because as of right now, we think we could be due January 11th or 20th or like somewhere in there. And if we start mid-November, that means I'll probably be filming for 3 to 4 months, which puts me right, you know, in the middle of the season when this baby's supposed to be born. I was really hoping in a perfect world that we would start in, you know, July or August or something like that, maybe film our 10 episodes and be done by Christmas. So it'd be like, you know, perfect timing. But you know what? It's cool. It's great. We'll figure it out.
And I think in my head, I always figured that it would work that way.
Yeah, I think so too.
I think I always did. So it didn't come as a surprise. So when we got in the car and you expressed your kind of disappointment over that, I was actually kind of surprised because I just had always anticipated it going that way.
I for a split second, I thought maybe this could work out to where I'll be done filming by the time the baby's born.
Yeah.
And then, you know, those first several months, I'll be home every day, all day, which would just be incredible for us.
Right.
But, you know,
instead, we're going to have to find people willing to come help.
No, but it's okay. We'll find it. You know, it's great. You know, we'll just keep praying that, like, we film somewhere close to home, which honestly, right now, LA feels so close to home. Right. It doesn't even matter to me.
Right.
Like, we could be in Santa Clarita or Culver City. It does not matter, which is a likely chance we could be in Culver City filming because that's where the Sony lot is at and we're a Sony show.
Right.
But I don't even care. To be able to come home to my own house and to come home and Angela's there and, like, the baby and everything would be, that's a dream already. So.
Right. All right. So back to Thursday.
Yep.
Go to the doctor. We're anticipating an ultrasound appointment first. In fact, when we set up the appointment, they said it was going to be an ultrasound appointment first. Took us back to the room and the doctor actually did the ultrasound. It was his first time seeing me in maybe like 6 months or so. So he was quite misinformed about basically everything. I sat down with him and he told me that I had a bicoronary, I believe, or it was some word, and I'm probably totally screwing that up, but he basically told me that I had a uterus that was separated into two.
This is a vaginal ultrasound versus a belly ultrasound.
Right.
I've been learning a lot about a lot last week.
The woman reproductive.
I've been learning a lot about more than I would ever even want to know. Like, as guys that are not married and not having babies, or even just married but not even having babies, you don't really need to know about all these things going on. You just don't. You know?
I feel like you've always kind of known because I've always had female problems anyways.
Yeah.
So I feel like you've been in the room with me when I've had an ultrasound before, haven't you? Like, for other reasons, for my endometriosis?
I have.
Okay, right.
I have.
So,
yeah.
You're just being facetious right now.
But I'm just saying, like, these are things that guys don't, you don't really need to know everything.
But the majority of guys do know it. Well,
especially once their wives get pregnant, right. Because then they're in the room. So,
right.
Yeah, evidently, because the baby is so small, it's not even really considered a baby yet. I guess it's a fetus or an embryo or something at this point. I'm not even sure the technical term. So they have to do the vaginal one instead of the belly one. But I think, you know, eventually you do the belly one.
Right.
By the way, we've been watching all of these, like, YouTube videos. And did we talk about this last?
The very depressing one?
I think we did.
We did talk about that,
okay, yeah. Because we did that Friday night. We haven't really gone back to that yet. Maybe we'll go back to that because
I don't know if I'm mentally prepared for that.
I know, it was so well shot, that documentary.
But it was just so depressing.
Everything.
There's got to be other good ones out there.
Yeah, like positive ones.
Yeah.
But anyway, so that's what we're in the doctor's office, and he's doing his thing, his wand thing, and we're able to see it on the screen.
But he's telling me that I have a uterus that is separated into two separate parts, and I'm telling him, no, I actually don't, and I know that for a fact because I've had a million ultrasounds. I've had two surgeries. And he's like, well, let's just go ahead and do the ultra.
He goes, he said that yours possibly was shaped like a heart instead of an oval?
No, he was saying that as you get pregnant or as you continue through your pregnancy, a lot of times your uterus changes to the shape of a heart. But he was saying that I actually had the type of uterus that was already into two separate sections. Oh. I knew that wasn't accurate. And so he's like, well, let's just go ahead and do the ultrasound. And right away, he's like, yep, you're right.
You were like, not my uterus.
I knew. I mean, I've been through too much.
That's the title of this episode.
Not my uterus.
Episode number two, not my uterus.
So anyways, we had high expectations of being able to see something, but all we could see was the yolk sac this time. So we were a little bit sad, a little bit disappointed, but what he did tell us is that our due date might be further out than what we had initially believed.
Right.
Because I might have ovulated late.
So when we went, we thought we were 6 weeks, but we might actually have only been just over five.
Or five and a half.
Or five and a half.
Or I've been online reading every discussion board out there, like the good little crazy internet person I am.
What did people do? Like,
I don't know what they did before the internet.
Honestly, even 15, even like, even 10 years ago.
My mom said that to me the other day when I was saying, I sent her an article about the vitamins. I sent her an article about vitamins, and it was just like tons of women saying that they can't take multivitamins. And she was like, man, we did not have this when I was pregnant.
Like even 10 years ago, YouTube was, I think, around 10 years ago, But
it wasn't highly used.
No, I don't think it was like rich with content like it is now. You can literally Google anything and find like at least 3 to 4 YouTube videos on that specific thing you Googled. And I mean, you know, 100 times more articles. Like, what did people do?
I have no idea. Go to the library?
Go to the library? Talk to other...
Find prenatal groups?
I guess so. Like, my gosh.
Call Ask a Nurse. Remember Ask a Nurse?
Yeah.
Call Ask a Nurse.
Were you call? Is it? Was it a live nurse?
Oh yeah, it was the local. It was the local hospital.
She's probably not even a real nurse.
No, it was the local hospital. You would call, and they'd have a RN on, and you'd have to sit there and wait on hold while they answered other questions. My mom called it a lot, but my mom was always the walking medical dictionary in our family. So that's also the other thing. My mom had her. You know.
Yeah.
But anyways,
that's just crazy. But we've been. I mean. We're like a week into this thing. We have been Googling and YouTubing
the crap out of everything.
So much stuff.
But I have read online that there are so many women who go in for their 6-week appointment. They can only see the yolk sac, but then they end up delivering, you know, like are tracking to deliver the exact due date that they were initially given. It's just sometimes it just doesn't show up. So I'm not totally discouraged in that we're not as far along as we thought we were. I think we'll know more. We have another appointment in 2 weeks. So
2 weeks. Which by...
At our 8-week mark.
By the 8-week mark, supposedly, you should definitely see...
And they'll be able to measure.
You should definitely see the baby, which I can't remember now. I guess I need to go YouTube. But I think... I don't think it has, like, complete arms or anything like that. If anything, it's
it
just,
little
like...
paddle.
Little, like, paddles, like, yeah. Little nubs.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they said maybe the eyes are kind of starting to form.
And the chin.
And the chin.
Nose.
And I believe
But I think all the organs have already formed at that point.
Like, the liver, heart, lungs.
Yep.
I think even the sexual, like, genitalia started to form, too. I think they can tell.
No, they can't tell at 8 weeks the sex.
But I think the YouTube thing was saying that it has already started to form.
It might have, but that's wild. Tell the sex at that point. Unless you do a blood test, which that's possible.
That's wild.
So at the appointment, I told him, my doctor, about the multivitamins, and he just point blank looked at me and said, don't take them. Period. Take folic acid. He was like, you do need iron. And I know that iron is what is bothering my stomach because I was on iron in high school because of being anemic. And he said, listen, do you like steaks? I'm like, yeah, I had one for dinner last night. He goes, great. Eat steaks, eat burgers, get your red meat, get your iron in that way, and take your folic acid. So that's really what we've been doing.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's been a big difference in the way that I feel.
Oh my gosh. I mean, I think you
like
felt
night and day.
Like night and day. I think you
like
probably...
Like I have energy in the morning.
Yeah. I mean, you still tend to like get tired in the afternoon and take a little nap. But you kind of always...
That's my biggest symptom is being lethargic.
But you've kind of always been...
I've always been a napper, but not every day. Like I literally... Between lunch and dinner, there about 5 o'clock comes that time where I feel like I physically cannot keep my eyes open.
So, I mean, those of you... If you're listening, wondering about the vitamin stuff, I mean, our doctor, Dr. Weiss, told us, you know, just folic acid and then everything else from foods. And this guy, well, he's in Beverly Hills. He's actually on Rodeo, of all, like, things. You go in his office and he's got, like, plaques all over the place, like plaques that are saying, you know, the good doctor, top 100 doctor, you know, top 50 doctor.
He's named like the top doctor in LA for 3 years in a row.
Yeah, yeah. Or like California, you know, California 25 top doctors for 2013, 14, 15, 16. So obviously the guy's well respected in his field. He's a very tall guy. He's kind of got gray, kind of longish hair. And he's real personable, real nice guy. But obviously he's smart. He knows what he's talking about. He's been around a long time. So he's seen this stuff before and...
Well, I didn't feel completely settled in that because I've always taken vitamins my whole life. Like, I take a lot of vitamins daily.
I think his whole point is just that, like, people kind of get crazy, especially nowadays with the internet and all this stuff. People,
and the supplements and everything.
And the supplements. People go crazy with it.
But I'm one of those people who like supplements.
No, I know you do. But I think he's just saying, like, whoa, sit back and chill. Eat your good foods and take a couple little things here and, you know.
So what?
I kind of like that old school feel to him.
I do too.
You know,
I can appreciate that. He feels like I'm talking to Mama a little bit.
Well, it's just you think back all these hundreds and thousands of years.
How many babies has he delivered? Thousands.
Yeah, and people, obviously, I don't know what like the death rates and success rates are, but I would assume they're better now. But people have been doing this for a long, long time.
Billions.
Without prenatal vitamins, you know?
Yeah, it's true. But the internet...
Wait, did you say billions?
Billions of people have done this without...
Billions of years. I was like...
No.
What? Check that.
No, billions of people have done this. Mm-hmm. So I got on the internet again and searched, and it seems to be a very common thing where doctors actually tell their patients, don't take the prenatal vitamins if they're making you sick, because if they're making you sick to the point of not being able to eat, then you're not going to get the nutrients that you need anyways, which is so true. But I've read that a lot of women went and got Flintstones kids vitamins.
I'm a Flintstones kid.
Yep. So that's what we did. We went and got ourselves...
And growing.
We got ourselves some gummy Flintstones.
Isn't it funny how little jingles stick for like 25 years? They'll stick and you just remember it.
I actually could see the commercial in my head when you were singing that.
What about the other day? I said, I love the fishes because so delicious.
I was just singing that in my head just a second ago, but then I thought, that's not that old.
Finish it.
Love goldfish.
No. Oh, what,
is it go goldfish?
No, it's gone goldfishing.
Oh, I thought it was love goldfish.
I love the fishes because it's so delicious. Gone goldfishing.
I mean, maybe it is. I don't know.
Look it up.
Yikes. Anyway, so we took a trip to CVS, got ourselves some prenatal vitamins with no iron. They're the gummies. They taste awful. And then we also got Flintstones kids vitamins gummies as well. So we've been just dabbling in that. I've been taking half doses just to kind of build myself up.
You felt like that prenatal vitamin did not do good for you today.
I did. I got nauseous after I...
Well, you got nauseous, but did you get like gas pains again?
I don't know. I guess we'll find out tonight.
Oh, great. Me tooting on me.
In the middle of the night.
You better not.
You won't know. You'll sleep through it.
Well, listen, I took two of those gummies today. I took two prenatals.
He took two prenatals to test them out.
This is what you do.
Because I've got a much stronger stomach than you do, typically.
This is what you do as a husband. You do things like this. Yes. Am I at risk for growing boobs? Yes.
No.
Am I at risk for growing female genitalia?
No.
Yes. But these are things that you do for your wife. So I took two prenatal vitamins. And look, usually... Like stuff like that, like gummy stuff and like junk like that, doesn't usually agree with me. But I've been feeling fine. I've not like these gummies didn't do anything to me.
Yeah, but I mean, I don't know whether to blame it on the gummies or if it was that large lunch that I ate at 4 o'clock today.
Yes, right. Yeah, that one that I kind of like didn't really persuade you to get. Yeah, it was like a big tostada with like guacamole and carne asada.
So good. I don't regret it.
And cheese.
I still don't regret it.
Was that pasteurized cheese, by the way? That's another thing. Let's talk about that.
Well, it was mozzarella. It's shredded cheese.
Mozzarella. Well, I know, but is it pasteurized?
I think the only soft cheeses you have to worry about, like brie, feta.
I see. I've got a lot to learn. I think we both have a lot to learn.
Of course we do.
So, but
here's the other thing. My mom's never even heard of the pasteurized, unpasteurized thing.
Yeah.
And I came into this world just fine, and she was never sick a day in her pregnancy. So.
So, okay. So you ate this big old tostada, like plus another
soft taco. I had a little soft taco. That was the most I've eaten in the last probably 3 weeks.
No, look, that's fine. I don't care. Obviously, it's good.
But then
it's
I was miserable after it.
Well, yeah, it was like 4 o'clock, and this it had like all kinds of sour cream and crap. And
it was so good. I don't regret it.
Well, okay.
I mean, you like were kind of making fun of me because I was enjoying it so much while I was eating it.
Yeah, it was weird. Like, she enjoyed it better than anything she enjoys with me, which is not good, if you know what I mean.
Babe, it wasn't better than sex.
Well, but since we're talking about that, let's go into like another little thing here. This pasteurized cheese thing.
Yeah.
So these are other things that we are all learning. I feel like so much pregnant information is being thrown at us.
Can you imagine all the baby information that's going to be thrown at us?
No, I'm gonna eventually just shut my eyes and close my ears and go la 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 la.
You can't do that. You got to learn it
until that baby's out.
know when we have the baby, every single thing that happens, we're going to be freaking out about. And
every single thing that happens, I'm just going to go, la, 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 babe.
No.
And hand you the baby.
No. You get worked up about stuff even more so than I do sometimes, so.
So we've been learning over this past week that there's a whole pregnant diet that you have to stick to, like all kinds of stuff. I'm sure we'll end up talking about a ton of it, but one of them being cheeses. Everything has to be pasteurized cheese,
which means flash heated, right?
Like flash heated. I think it means flash heated, basically enough that it kills bacteria and some disease that lives.
We're worried about listeria, basically.
Listeria is the thing that you got to worry about for pregnant women. I don't know what it is. It sounds it's a disease from the Oregon Trail. But
well, actually, I think it might be. But what it does is it actually puts you at a higher risk for miscarriage. Listeria does.
Because it's like a bacteria or something of some sort.
Exactly. Right.
So if it's pasteurized, that means that it's gotten to a temperature that kills that particular form of bacteria. So every time we go somewhere now and it's like got cheese or some kind of dairy, we have to ask, is it pasteurized dairy? Is it pasteurized cheese? We have this place up the road from us. I'm not going to name a name because we don't want to give our secret locale away. But they actually have a pregnancy salad, and people come there. I think it's just kind of a folklore
it's
thing.
It's like a gimmick.
It's
yeah.
a gimmick. But I don't know. Some people on Yelp, they swear by it and they say, I ate the salad and then I went into labor. So, but because of that, because they have so many pregnant women that go to that restaurant to get that salad, they use all pasteurized cheeses from everywhere. So it's funny because I was placing an order and I was like, by the way, is that goat cheese pasteurized? And he goes, yep, everything's pasteurized because of pregnant women. And I was like, that's exactly why I was asking. So he goes, yeah.
Yeah, so pasteurized cheese.
Yeah, pasteurized.
Deli meats.
Deli meats. Can't eat deli meats. And now...
Which is really sad because I love a good sandwich.
You don't... Honestly, you're not a sandwich person.
Yes, I am.
You don't care.
Yes, I do.
You don't ever... We don't ever get like subs and things. I love subs.
I like subs. I just don't like Subway. It makes me sick.
No, but well, I guess we
it's
don't have...
because of the tuna.
We don't have a great sub shop near us. We did when we were out in the western part of the valley, but we don't really here.
Oh my gosh, that place had the best subs and I ate it all the time.
Yeah, it was good. It was good.
I love a good Italian sub. Toasted? Oh my gosh. What are you talking about?
Okay, fine. Jeez, don't yell at me.
Gosh, you're insulting my food tastes here.
Okay, fine.
Okay, so deli meats.
Hot dogs? You like hot dogs. We all know hot dogs probably not the best thing for you regardless.
But and I don't eat them that often, but no. I do love them.
But you like a good hot dog, especially in the summertime when you throw it on the grill real quick.
Yeah.
But you can't eat hot dogs.
I don't really eat them out so often. It's you make them for me.
Yeah, it's processed meat.
Seafood, but I feel like that's a given. Alcohol, also a given, but I don't even drink, so it's not a big deal.
Yeah.
Cut down on caffeine, which I barely drink a cup of coffee in the morning because at this point, it seems to give me heartburn almost every morning.
Well, I feel like that's a new thing, though, this heartburn
stuff. Yeah, that is new. Runny eggs. Can't have runny eggs.
So the heartburn has been a symptom as well that you've been experiencing with this pregnancy.
But only with coffee. And it's only between breakfast and lunch. And I make sure to have food on my stomach before I take that first sip of coffee.
I don't know because, again, you know, like we've said, I have a very sensitive stomach and I get a lot of heartburn. Matter of fact, I had heartburn so bad that was affecting my body so badly that it gave me cavities. It gave me 9 cavities.
Mm-hmm. And the cough, too. We thought you had a lung disorder of some sort.
Yeah, like crazy bronchitis. And it ended up just being acid in my throat.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you know you have bad heartburn and like bad reflux. Acid reflux is when you get freaking 9 cavities from it. I don't think the people at the dentist, they didn't believe me. They were just kind of like... Yeah, okay. Well, you know, just floss better. You got to make sure to brush and floss really good. And I'm like, no, I brush fine. I brush good. I floss good. Like, I pretty much floss every day. But anyway, my dental health, I would say, is pretty good. Once we figured out it was acid reflux.
Yeah.
I was able to take care of it. And
well, we're even on a low acid coffee right now.
Right. So anyway, yeah. So, but that's what I was getting to is that I even bought this low-acid coffee to help myself out because when I run and stuff, sometimes I get like acid reflux. And it's been good for me. And that I feel like I'm the test.
Yeah.
And if it's good for me, then it should be good for anybody. But you've been experiencing heartburn
And, but it's not like terrible heartburn. It's more of like a lump in my throat kind of situation. And it doesn't last beyond lunchtime. So I've pretty much only...
I mean, are you sure it's heartburn that you're experiencing?
I mean, that's what it feels like. Like, didn't I describe a pain in my stomach? Like an acid burning pain in my stomach today?
Yeah.
So I'm only down to like, what, half a cup of coffee now in the mornings? Just enough to like get that taste, because I don't even feel like I depend on coffee for the caffeine. I depend on it because I love the taste of it so much.
Yeah, me too.
Cravings. I haven't had any really weird cravings though, have
no,
I?
No, not yet.
No.
I wonder when that stuff starts.
I don't know. I mean, but I will say something sounds really good. Like
Cheerios.
Like tonight I had to have Cheerios.
Yeah, so like 10:30 I was running to 7-Eleven to get milk.
That's because of our milk. We needed milk anyways.
Listen, here's the other...
That's unusual for me for cereal. I'm not a big cereal person.
No, you're not a cereal person at all. But here's the other great thing, kind of going back to this YouTube and technology and like what did people do 10 years ago? I mean, they got in the car and they went out and got something for their wife, but... We were just sitting here talking about it the other day. Between Postmates, mm-hmm. I don't know if you guys have Postmates where you're at, but we have it's meal delivery. You can like not pre-made meal, but it's a delivery.
Any restaurant, basically.
Any restaurant. Postmates or DoorDash is also super common.
I know that those aren't in Ohio because I just talked to.
Well, I know DoorDash is in Vancouver and it's in like Houston for my sister, and it's in Atlanta.
This is not sponsored, by the way. We just.
No.
We just like them.
But for pregnant people, how great is Postmates?
It's a game changer.
Game changer for husbands, Postmates and DoorDash. Because now all these cravings you can essentially
Postmates
get.
Postmates I saw did Trader Joe's even. You can just put a Trader Joe's order in.
It's incredible. So all these poor husbands having to run out for. Like,
also, there's Prime Pantry now too.
And yeah, and Amazon Prime Pantry. Listen, if one of you companies do want to sponsor us, you know. Come on in.
Hit me up. But no weird cravings, really. Biggest symptom this week has been just mostly being lethargic after we cut out the vitamins.
Vitamika Megaman? What is it?
Vitamika Megaman.
Vitamin, that Lucy show.
Yeah. Anything else that you have noticed about me? My hair is getting greasy really fast.
You fine, girl.
Yeah. Not this week. My skin's clearing up, which... is crazy, and hopefully that's a good sign.
Do you feel like you have that pregnancy glow yet?
No, I don't.
When do you get that?
I don't know. But the doctor told me the other day that I looked really good, and I was like, are you talking to somebody else here, or?
Are you feeling, like, how are you feeling emotionally about this whole thing? Are you feeling excited? Do you feel the love? We kind of talked about the other day that someone had mentioned to us, my mom had mentioned to us, isn't it amazing how much you love, you know, this little tiny thing? And
which, by the way, is the size of a sweet pea right now.
I don't even think it's a sweet pea yet. I think it's still an apple seed.
No, if we're 6 weeks, it's a sweet pea.
Okay. So she had said, isn't it amazing how much you love something that you don't even know exists? And we were kind of talking about, I mean, obviously we do, and obviously we're so excited. But it's also that weird thing where it's like, well, especially for Angela, up until now, she's just been feeling sick. Up until these last couple of days, she was feeling very sick and it was making her body feel awful. It's like something that you're not really experiencing yet. I mean, especially from my perspective, it's nothing that I'm feeling or experiencing yet. It's all just being told to me. It's, you know, Angela telling me she's pregnant, the doctor telling us that we're pregnant, but like nothing that I've like gotten to feel emotionally or experience necessarily firsthand in that regard. I mean, obviously I've felt the emotions of excitement and being scared and, you know, all that kind of stuff in the last week. And really, honestly, more excited than anything. But, I mean, obviously, being human, you can't escape some of those thoughts of like, wow, life is so different from now on. It's like, is it going to be the same? Is it going to be, am I going to like it? And all this kind of stuff. And I already know that it's, you know, once you have the baby, it's going to be the best thing ever. And things are going to change drastically. But that's not a bad thing. And it's not a thing to worry about. It's actually a great thing. But yeah, we were just kind of talking about it's so early. And I think that's the thing. I just think it's so early still that right now we're just having information being told to us. And I feel like we're not necessarily experiencing the feeling of that information. So, you know, it'll be interesting to see how that changes in the coming weeks.
I think that our 8-week ultrasound will also change that for us as well.
Because we'll see it.
Yeah. And it'll become real. Right now, I don't even know that it... I think that right now it doesn't feel real to me. It just feels like I've had the flu.
Well, that's
and I feel gross. And I think maybe because we didn't try forever, we didn't go through IVF, we didn't do all of this, these things mm-hmm. where the, like
it
we've
was this, not been living with it very long. We've only been living with this now for
this
a
knowledge.
Week.
Yeah.
And again, and kind of like I said, it's just knowledge that's being told to us, not that we're experiencing necessarily.
Yeah. So I feel like this is a very real, very human moment or answer. But when your mom asked me if I wasn't it crazy to, that you have all of this love for this thing that you just, that's so tiny. It was like, in my mind, I thought, I haven't even experienced that yet because it doesn't even feel real to me yet.
Yeah.
And yeah. That probably makes me sound like such a horrible person.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. I think that's all part of it. I mean,
like, I couldn't be more excited to be pregnant, but, like, I wake up every morning and I have to actually remind myself that I'm pregnant.
Right, yeah.
Like, it doesn't feel like I'm pregnant. It just feels like I've been sick.
But can you imagine what it's going to be like when you can actually feel the baby, like, kicking inside
you? That's going to be totally different.
Like, oh, my gosh, I can't, yeah.
That will be totally different, and that will be such an amazing experience, and at that moment, I'm sure that, like, there will be this overwhelming love that I have for this
yeah.
child that I won't even be able to put it into words. But right now, it doesn't even feel like I'm pregnant. It's the weirdest. I don't know. I feel like I'm sounding like a really terrible human being right now because I'm not.
I don't think there's anything terrible about it.
I think I just physically have been feeling so.
I think it's honest.
Bad.
Yeah.
And I told you this, but I feel like my biggest concern has been an ectopic pregnancy and that not only would I lose the pregnancy, but I would lose my ability to possibly have future kids. And so that is like just the constant fear that I've had the last week of knowing that I'm pregnant. It's been very, very, like that's the overwhelming thing to me.
What is ectopic? You've explained it, but explain it again here on this podcast. What is ectopic pregnancy and why do you think that you were at risk?
I was afraid that I was at risk because I read, which I need to stop reading all of this stuff, first of all. And the ultrasound tech told me that. She's like, you've got to stop reading. But endometriosis patients are apparently at a higher risk for ectopic pregnancy. And basically what that means is that the baby gets implants somewhere other than inside of the uterus. Like, so basically in your fallopian tube.
Like the egg settles in the fallopian tube and actually...
And then starts to grow
inside the fallopian tube right. As opposed to coming on down to the uterus.
Exactly. And then when that happens, the fallopian tube ruptures and you have to go in for either immediate surgery or sometimes it does it quietly and, you know, there is no damage or any pain. I'm sure there's pain, but there's no damage.
Well, obviously the...
My biggest fear was losing a fallopian tube.
Well, the baby can't sit there and grow in your fallopian tube. It would have to move down to the uterus in order to be a successful pregnancy.
Exactly. But if it does implant in the fallopian tube, then it's an ectopic pregnancy and there's no way it will move. That's what it is.
Right. So ectopic pregnancies never go 9 months and they're born, right?
No, I don't think that they make it beyond like 8 weeks.
Yeah.
To my knowledge. And I could be wrong about that, but I'm pretty sure that that's... Or actually, I might have read 16 weeks. But the reason that I was scared about mine is that our baby implanted on the right side of my uterus, but it implanted up high. And so my first appointment, he was like, I'm a little bit unsure about where the baby implanted because it's up high and it's kind of close to the opening of your fallopian tube. So that then he's like, so we can't rule out ectopic pregnancy, but that needs to be at the bottom of your list. So every pain that I was having on my right side was then just freaking me out because I'm like, well, what if the implantation wasn't actually in the uterus? It was on the opening of the fallopian tube and like all this stuff. So it was just scary.
Okay, and he ruled that out. Now he ruled that out or no?
Dr. Weiss?
Yes.
On Thursday, he didn't even mention anything about the position. He said everything looked great.
Did you specifically ask him?
You know what? I didn't because it was such a like moment of like wanting to see everything on the screen and like wanting to watch him measure everything. But he was not concerned at all with the location of where the baby was at all. So I left Thursday feeling really good.
Mm-hmm.
Until we got into traffic and you became a monster.
Oh, look. It took a very long time to get home.
But we had a great appointment.
We were in stop traffic.
We had a great appointment.
And we were, there was something happening where we had to be back at the house to get a delivery. Like, guys, listen, between all this stuff here and all this craziness that's happening with my job and Angela and the pregnancy, you know, we've still got a house that, like, we're
empty.
That's empty. We're just getting moved into it. It's a wreck and there's boxes everywhere and we don't have blinds and shutters and, like, there's just stuff. And, like, so little things like needing to be home to accept a delivery for your freaking couch or your blinds, which make your room, you know, dark enough to actually sleep like a civil human being, are very important. Or, like, getting your barbecue line in, or even getting your mailbox delivered so you can put your mailbox so the USPS stops yelling at you about not having a mailbox. Like, these are all extremely important things that when you move into an older house or a house that's been lived in, these are all things that are probably already there. Or getting your sprinklers fixed. You had to meet your garden guy or whatever, you know? So it's all just kind of also like growing pains of the new house where everything is something.
That doesn't excuse you being a monster.
So I wasn't a monster.
You were being pretty.
I was just not happy with the
traffic.
The traffic.
So I was reaping those benefits.
Well, and then we had to get home because we had to shoot a video or two videos for your YouTube channel, which were, I think they were sponsored. So it was very important work. We don't want to let a sponsor down. So we had to do that. And then, you know, coming back, you're like, I'm hungry. We have to go somewhere. That's the other weird thing is because you've not been feeling well, you've been eating so sporadically, like not at
regular times. Which, by the way, right now I could have a tostada and be totally good with it.
Oh my gosh. We just talked about how sick it made you.
But it sounds so good.
You're crazy.
But
no hot tubs.
No hot tubs.
That's another big thing we learned.
That's the worst.
No hot tubs.
That's the worst. Yeah, I love my hot tub.
You love your hot tub. I do too.
We actually have one and we use it all the time.
Yeah, we love our hot tub time.
Gosh, that's a hard one
it's
for
a sacrifice.
Us. Yeah, it's a hard one. But anyway, so basically we left the appointment on Thursday feeling really good. The doctor said everything looked great. Our blood results came back really good. Did my thyroid, everything came back. My hormones are doubling the way that they should. Then they sent us in for another blood test, which hopefully we'll get that on Monday, that they're ruling out genetic situations like spina bifida, things like that.
Yeah, some of the major muscular dystrophy or something like that. I'm not sure.
So that's the next test that we just underwent. And then if I test positive for any of it, then Matt will have to test next because they need to know how many strong genes we have coming from both directions, basically.
I feel like it's difficult because we're only a week into this, but just from hearing what we're going to have to do, it feels like just every week you've got new challenges that you have to get over. I mean, gosh, I didn't know. I mean, it felt like, oh, you get pregnant, 9 months later, you have a kid. But man, it's like testing for this horrible thing, testing for this horrible thing. Yeah. And then we're good. So then next week, you know, by week 7, there you can test for these horrible things. And then week 8, you know, you're good on the week 7s, but now we test for these horrible things. And it's like, man, it feels like it's just like so many hurdles to get over.
Overwhelming.
But I mean, I guess maybe between the internet and just modern medicine, we kind of do that to ourselves. I don't know. I mean,
probably.
Where it's kind of like we make things.
I WebMD everything.
Right. I mean, we make it bigger than what it should be because, you know, clearly 50 years ago, probably. I mean, I don't know. Like, I'm talking like I know. But I'm assuming like 50, 60, 80 years ago, they didn't even have all these tests for all these things in all these different weeks. And they had babies and they were fine and they were healthy.
Yeah, they didn't have anything. They didn't have any way to even hear the baby or see the baby. Nothing. So,
well, they probably like stethoscopes and stuff, obviously, but
no, but I mean like the actual heartbeat and all of that. So yeah, our next appointment is 8 weeks. We hope to see something and we hope to hear the heartbeat. Yeah. And, in the meantime, I've gone from a very bland, like, bread and baked potato diet to now actually eating other things.
Yeah, kind of back to normal-ish.
I'm a very sweet tooth person normally, and I've not really had a sweet tooth at all the last couple weeks.
Just your Honey Nut Cheerios half an hour ago.
Yeah, that was odd, but they did taste really good. I haven't had Cheerios in I don't know how long, but.
So this week, we don't have any, like, doctor anything. We do have my parents coming out. in
a week from today.
A week from today, which we're excited to see them. Really, this week is just more about trying to get the house together, trying to clean up the house so we can have guests.
Unpack boxes. Office situated a tiny bit.
Yeah, I got some voiceover I got to do on
Monday.
Get
some work settled before they come for Hello Gorgeous. Yep. Just a lot. Like, we just constantly, even when you're not working on a project, we are still, my blog honestly keeps us so busy.
Busy, yeah.
So busy. And I do, I'm definitely in a position where I need to have an assistant, but we just haven't.
Well, we've had some things going on.
Yeah. think?
Yeah.
You think? But yeah, so that was this week, week 6. We'll check in at week 7, let you know what our symptoms are, how the week went. Hoping and praying for no morning sickness over the next week, because I've read that week 6 can sometimes be the worst for morning sickness, or when it really sets in.
And a healthy baby.
And a healthy baby and a healthy pregnancy and all that good stuff.
Yep. So, see you later.
Visit me on my blog, AngelaLantern.com. Visit me on YouTube, youtube.com/AngelaLantern, and follow us both on social media.
Are we doing that? Are we plugging all the things on this podcast?
We should. We should.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At Angela Lanter.
At Matt Lanter.
Follow us.
What if this is our poor baby listening to this 20 years in the future, and we're like plugging our social channels on
then
this
you
podcast?
Then you just cut it out. Edit it down.